Hello and welcome to the Carolina Snowflakes podcast, where two Southerners come to terms with their liberal snowflake tendencies. We're your hosts. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Jason. And today we have episode number 5, which we're calling We're Going on Dr. Phil.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not literally going on Dr. Phil.
Nope.
I wish we were, honestly. Well, no.
No, we're both glad we're not.
We're not in a position to have to need to go on to Dr. Phil, but we're going to talk about Dr. Phil.
We're going to go on about Dr. Phil.
Yes, we are. And I don't know if it's necessarily unique to being Southern or a liberal at all. I don't think it has much to do with either of those things. I've thought about it a little bit.
Yeah, no, not really. Except, I mean, Dr. Phil is Southern.
He is. He's like Texas Southern.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is, you know, kind of similar, I guess.
Well, not really.
Yeah.
He's just Southern.
Yeah, the accent's similar.
Yeah.
But we watch it a lot.
We watch a lot of Dr. Phil.
I've watched for a long time.
Uh-huh. Years.
I never really looked into how he got to where he is, and mm-hmm. Amanda did some research into this. And
I did.
I am eager to find out what she has brought for us today.
Mm-hmm. I figure let's start with the basics. Let's start with, who is Dr. Phil?
Yes, who is Dr. Phil?
So Dr. Phil, his real name, well, I guess it is Phil, but it's Philip Calvin McGraw. He was born in 1950 in Oklahoma, but he grew up in North Texas.
Mm-hmm.
His dad, his name is Joseph, was an equipment supplier for oil drilling companies, but he had a passion for psychology.
Oh.
And this passion led Joseph to pack up the whole family and move them all to Kansas so he could earn a degree in psychology.
Okay.
So while in Kansas, Dr. Phil played football, because he's mentioned that some on his show.
Yeah, I've heard him mention that.
Mm-hmm. And his playing football in high school led him to get a football scholarship.
Okay.
That took him to the University of Tulsa, where he also played and was a linebacker.
Well, he is a big dude.
He's huge.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, a little factoid, Dr. Phil is 6'3".
Yeah, he's also broad. He's just built. Big shoulders.
Yeah. He transferred from Tulsa to Midwestern State University, which is in Texas.
Yeah.
And in 1975, he graduated with a bachelor's in psychology. Then he pursued a master's in experimental psychology. I don't really know what that is.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
And then eventually he earned a PhD in clinical psychology in 1979. Which is why he is Dr. Phil.
Okay, but I'm stuck on this experimental psychology thing for a second.
Yeah, I didn't really look into it, and part of me was like, I don't want
to
know.
I think it's like Inception. It's where they plant memories in your brain just to see what you'll do.
Yeah, it's where they're probably doing some like weird stuff. I don't know.
6-year-old, tell him he's born from aliens.
Yeah, he'll believe it. Just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he has a master's degree in that.
Right.
In experimental psychology.
Awesome.
And then he got his PhD in clinical psychology, which gave him the doctor in front of his name. Dr. Phil's PhD advisor was Dr. Frank Lawless.
So if you ever watched the show, that's the dude that
Dr. Lawless is a consultant with Dr. Phil regularly on the show. If you watch it enough, you'll see him.
Yeah, I've seen him on there.
After he gets his doctorate, he gets into these self-help seminars.
Okay. Like one of those guys that travels around.
Like holding these big conventions.
At hotel
lobby. Yeah.
What do they call it? Hotel conference rooms and stuff?
Yeah. Well, lobby conference. Yeah. So he gets into that. And so that's like the early 80s.
Yeah. I guess that was big then.
And it was a pretty big hit. Like people really liked it. And his dad joined him. So he and his dad were giving these self-help seminars.
Okay.
Around Texas. The interesting thing about these self-help seminars is that a lot of his catchphrases and his kind of motivational talk that he uses on his show started in these seminars.
Yeah, so I guess early on, this is psychology, he was figuring out what works.
Yeah, and what motivates people.
Yeah.
Like what sounds good, at least to the listener.
What do people like to hear?
Yeah. Yeah, and so it sold and it did really well.
Huh.
So fast forward to 1990, he founded the Courtroom Sciences Incorporated, or CSI. Yeah, I know. This was a company geared towards coaching for trial lawyers to better prepare them for the courtroom.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, it's weird. He's had this interest in law and psychology. Yeah. And this, like, weird.
He found this way to kind of smush it together. Huh, yeah. Neat. So things like the psychology behind jury selection, mm-hmm. how to train your witnesses, and how to structure your depositions.
That's all very fascinating stuff.
It is. It's actually pretty cool.
Yeah. I see why he would be interested mm-hmm. in that. I'm interested in that too.
CSI, or Courtroom Sciences Incorporated.
Cool.
Went on to coach really high level attorneys all over the country. Like, we're talking the big dogs.
Wolf of Wall Street boys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, they did coaching for every single major airline.
Huh.
Every major airline.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this company was making money.
Oh, yeah. And then dozens upon dozens of Fortune 500 companies.
Wow.
I guess training them to look for the right, you know, CEOs and corporate leaders, and how to, you know, cover their rears should they get in trouble.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Interesting. It is through CSI that Dr. Phil met Oprah Winfrey.
Oh, he was like, hello. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Huh. If you remember back, because we're old enough to remember this, I'd forgotten. You remember in the mid 90s, their mad cow disease?
Yeah.
mad cow disease was a thing.
Yeah.
So apparently on one episode, Oprah was talking about mad cow disease.
The mad cow disease.
The mad cow. And she said something along the lines of, I'm never going to eat beef again.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Well, so the beef people in Texas filed a lawsuit against her for libel.
Oh, big meat.
Big meat.
Yeah, you got to watch out for big meat.
Because Texas actually has a law protecting comments, negative comments, or libel against food.
Yeah, that's hilarious. That sounds like Texas. Do not talk shit about our beef.
Exactly.
We do not tolerate shit talking about our beef.
So she was brought to court under what they call the Amarillo, Texas beef trial.
The beef trial?
Yeah.
Oprah's in the beef trial. Wow, I did not expect this to go this direction.
Like, it's ringing. It all came back to me when I was reading it. I was like, oh yeah, I remember when she got in trouble for talking smack about beef.
When Oprah got screwed by Big Beef?
Yeah, so she hired Dr.
I never thought I'd say that.
She brought him and his team on to coach her and her team for the trial.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Dr. Phil, help me out. Big Beef is trying to
wreck Beef,
me.
Man. They're trying to take me down.
Yeah. And then he's like, he's Texan, so he knows all about
because
Big
that
Beef.
Law exists, which is mind-boggling.
That is a mind-boggling thing.
There is a law protecting disparaging comments against food in Texas.
Well, if any of you guys in Texas out there listening, don't talk shit about your food.
Yeah, apparently. just be like, it's good.
Does that mean every app you look at in Texas has 5-star ratings for everything?
Yeah, it was great.
Across
it
the board, you don't want to get sued?
It was excellent.
Best McDonald's I've ever been to.
Shrimp cocktail. It was excellent. Yes, I guess so. I don't know.
Wow, Texas is weird, man.
So it went to trial, and the jury ended up finding in favor of Oprah.
Yeah.
She won. Because
she had Dr. Phil.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So she, of course, was thrilled.
Uh-huh.
And she completely fell in love with
Dr.
Phil.
This guy won me my case.
Yeah. She was like, you're awesome.
Yeah.
I want you to start coming on to my show.
Yeah.
And so he did.
He was like, I will take this money.
Yeah. So he started going on the Oprah show and eventually became a regular. And he was on every week as a guest contributor.
I kind of remember a little bit of that.
A little bit. Like, I vaguely remember him being on her show. But yeah, so he was there every week. And he was the, like, relationships and life strategies coach kind of guy on her show.
Yeah, I guess they didn't really find his niche right away.
Well, her fans loved him.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, so
they love everything she presents, don't they? Isn't that the thing?
Oh, yeah. So she loved him. They loved him. I mean, the rest is history.
Yeah, now he's big time stuff.
Yeah, so in 1999, Dr. Phil wrote his first book.
Yeah.
Called Life Strategies.
Life Strategies, nice simple name.
Mm-hmm. Which became a bestseller. Thanks, Oprah.
Yeah, she put her sticker on there, didn't she? Yeah.
And then by 2002, Dr. Phil had his own talk show, The Dr. Phil Show.
Yeah.
Which is what we currently watch. And it happened to be produced by Harpo Studios.
When did you say it began?
2002.
'02. So it's 18 years running now.
Yeah, but they're in their 20th season. I think they just finished their 20th season.
They must have smushed some together there.
They did, yeah.
I don't know. This pandemic thing's been going on so long enough to where I'm confused. It could have been 2 years that have happened.
Yeah, who knows? What day is it?
Yeah, 2 years could have happened since the beginning of COVID. I don't know.
Who knows? And just a little bit of personal information about Dr. Phil. Okay. He is married.
Well, yeah, to Robin.
To his lovely wife, Robin, mm-hmm. who, if you watch the show, she's sitting in the audience every episode.
Every episode she sits
there. And sometimes she's on the show if she has a product or an idea mm-hmm. or app that
yeah,
she's
promoting. He totally makes her sell for sure.
Oh yeah, she's a salesperson. Definitely.
Here's my wife Robin. Listen to what she has to say.
Oh yeah. So he has two sons, Jay and Jordan.
Jay and Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And here's something interesting that I didn't know. Robin is Dr. Phil's second wife.
Oh, scandalous.
Oh, scandal.
He was married to somebody else before her?
Uh-huh.
Was he married to somebody else when he was doing the Dr. Phil show?
No. This was his first wife. I think he married in like the late 70s.
Okay.
And then he married Robin in the early 80s.
Okay. So she's always
been on
the
show. So this was long
show.
Before he was even known.
Okay.
So his first wife happens to hate his guts.
You don't say.
Yeah. I can't remember. I think her name was Diane.
Well, he's got a lot more shit she could take half of now. So
yeah.
She's probably
bitter. Yeah. But I don't know. She said... She has gone on record and said that he was very domineering.
Yeah, I can imagine.
He controlled the hell out of her.
I can imagine.
And that he is obsessed with appearances.
Especially God,
his wife's appearance. Yeah. Which I found really interesting considering that Robin is always selling her skincare products and stuff and how to rejuvenate and look youthful and young. And she's about she's tiny.
Yeah, she's itty bitty.
She's teeny, 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 teeny tiny, you know? So kind of made sense to me. I was like, I bet he probably is like
that.
Oh,
of course. I can completely see him being like that. I mean, you can kind of see in her demeanor towards him.
He's the captain. And
yeah, but I mean, that's just what you get with him. I mean, that's his...
Yeah, he's boss.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So there's that. I found that interesting. I had no idea that he had been married before. And also, I think you knew this, that he and his son Jay started their own production company called Stage 29 Productions.
I didn't know the name.
And Jay is the producer for another show called The Doctors.
That show.
Which is on ABC with Dr. Stork.
Yeah, I will not talk about that show.
We won't be discussing that show.
Yeah, we're going to leave that one out.
We're not fans. Yeah. And yeah, the Dr. Phil show's been on for 20 seasons.
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, that whole time hasn't been without its share of detractors, let's say.
It's true.
I've heard there's a little bit of controversy around Dr. Phil.
Yeah, there's actually quite a bit of controversy around him, which is why a lot of times when you tell people you like to watch Dr. Phil, they just grimace.
Yeah, I've gotten that reaction.
Yeah,
people.
Where they're like, oh, you watched that?
Yeah. Yeah, this is part of why we're doing this podcast, to explain the things that are bad and the things that are good.
Right. So one of the biggest controversies about Dr. Phil, or just his show in general, is... Pretty much all other mental health care providers, big and small, absolutely despise him.
Yeah, because he's kind of selling out their whole
thing. He's selling out, but he's also, they feel like, doing a disservice to the people that he has come on his show.
I imagine it's the same way that real lawyers feel about ambulance chasing lawyers.
Right.
Yeah,
and so they're both technically lawyers, but
Yeah, right. If you got to dial all of one number to reach a lawyer.
Dr. Phil has faced ethics charges, and he even has had a formal criminal complaint filed against him in California for practicing without a license.
Right.
Because he films his show in California, but he's licensed out of Texas.
And he certainly does make a thing out of living in California.
Well, yeah. And so to address that, in 2006, he actually surrendered his license voluntarily, and he has not held a license to practice psychology since then.
Wow. So he's unlicensed, but still calling himself Dr. Phil and pretending
and
to be a doctor.
Still hosting this show.
Yeah,
with
that's
guests.
Pretty bad.
So here, this is interesting that I learned. To cover his ass, his guests have to sign mountains of paperwork.
Oh, I bet. I bet it's ridiculous amounts.
Yeah, just so they can go on the show and he can be protected from potential lawsuits or even getting jailed.
I'm sure the paperwork basically says this guy isn't a doctor or really anything, but just pretend.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
like reality
just,
TV.
Just go with it.
Yeah, it's basically you're on Springer, so just deal with it.
And one of the biggest moments of controversy that happened with Dr. Phil was in 2008. You remember when Britney Spears lost her mind?
Shaved her head.
Shaved her head, went off the deep end.
Uh-huh. There was something with a baby.
Yeah,
in her
baby
lap.
On her lap, all
while
that.
She was just driving just like on her lap, which is incredibly
unsafe.
So she was, unsafe.
I think, at that point committed.
Yeah.
She was put into like a facility to help her. Dr. Phil went to go see her.
Oh, went to go see Britney. I'm going to go see Britney.
Hey, Britney. Yeah. So he went to go see Britney Spears when she was, confined. And when he finished visiting her, he actually came back out and shared her condition with the media.
Ew.
And
hey, guys, I got bipolar.
Yeah. Well, that did not go great.
You don't say.
Both her own family and then, of course, like all mental health care providers and professionals and just kind of joke
like
you public.
Was Dr. Phil botched it.
Was repulsed that he would do that. And so I think a lot of times when you are saying you watch Dr. Phil and people like go, ugh.
Yeah.
I think it's from that.
Yeah, well, that's a pretty good. He does that with a lot of celebrities. He did it with Nick Carter, too. Just like, look how messed up this celebrity is. I tried to help them and they're still messed up.
He did.
Yeah.
He did do that with Nick Carter.
That's his thing. That's a bit of his gimmick. But that's kind of the reason, that's part of the reason that I like him. Because I have some notes about Dr. Phil, about more of some of our favorite moments of Dr. Phil. And speaking of celebrities, just to get this out there, Bam Margera episode was probably one of my favorites. If you're not familiar, Bam Margera, the guy from Jackass, or one of the
Jackass guys.
He had a show, Viva La Bam.
Mm-hmm. Known for skateboarding.
And being a jackass.
And just being a real dick to his mom.
Yeah, and his
and
dad.
And Phil.
Yeah, yeah,
his was dad. His name Phil?
Yeah, his dad was Phil.
Ironic. Phil and Phil.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And Phil's also a big man.
He is.
And Bam, well, Bam's had a rough go of it because he had so much money that they were pouring into him that he couldn't even figure out how to spend it during his days. So, like, drugs were a big part of how he figured out how to spend money.
Bam got hooked on pretty much everything.
Yeah, specifically big on Adderall and drinking. Drinking and Adderall. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so he went on Dr. Phil.
In September of 2019, Bam Margera did go on Dr. Phil. And the episode, you know, which dealt with a lot of his addiction problems. He has also gained a lot of weight. He's kind of nuts, too.
He is.
He came
very
up with his own language.
Nuts, which is not a language.
Yeah, it's not a real language.
It was an interesting show because I hadn't really seen Bam since the Jackass days.
Yeah, and he's not like that
so
anymore.
So it was kind of like a weird...
He's off the whole deep end.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
He looked bad. Mm-hmm. He was acting not right.
Yeah.
And he didn't even really acknowledge or own his addictions.
Yeah, I think he's still in the denial phase of addiction, for sure.
Uh-huh.
He hasn't gotten to acknowledgement yet at all.
No.
Well, I learned that he did that episode. It was in September 2019. Afterwards, he did go to therapy. Dr. Phil offered him therapy at the end of the episode.
Oh, Bam went to therapy?
Yeah, and Bam went. And he got out of therapy. He quit a little early, but he did most of it. And he got a Dr. Phil tattoo.
Of
so
course
he was
he
very
did.
He was very
of
the
course.
Instagram pictured that. And
was
then,
it of Dr. Phil's face or just
the
his
logo?
Name?
The Dr.
Oh,
Phil
the logo.
Logo.
Okay.
And then he got arrested in an airport for yelling and confronting a person over God knows what.
Surprise.
So then he went back to rehab and he announced to everybody, hey, I'm going back to rehab after I got arrested for confronting somebody in an airport.
Right.
But then after being in rehab for a week, he wrote a 10-page letter explaining why he didn't need to be in rehab and he could quit on his own.
Oh, no.
So he left to go quit on his own. And then he got arrested again a couple of months ago for getting in a confrontation at a bar and talking all kinds of trash about his wife or his ex-wife.
I think ex-wife.
I think at this point it's ex-wife. Either way, talking a bunch of trash and threatening her.
Oh, no.
He got committed. So now he's in a mental institution.
Oh, no.
That is not a success story from Dr. Phil.
I didn't know any of that other follow-up. I'm glad you did that. I had no idea.
That is what happened with Bam. So we're going to count that one in the loss column for Dr. Phil.
Well, you tried, Dr. Phil.
Yeah, you did. But he's kind of a disaster. And, I mean, hopefully he'll do better. I feel bad that that's what happened to him, but it is.
Yeah.
Another famous persons that have been on there, obviously, was Oprah. Mm-hmm. He had Drew Barrymore.
Oh.
Tyler Perry's been on there.
Cool.
Now, here's an interesting thing. Dave Navarro, guitar player for Jane's Addiction, if you don't know who that is.
He also was in the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He was on there, but not for about any of those things. He was on because when he was a teenager, his mother was murdered.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
And he met the murderer.
Yeah.
And like Dr. Phil was like, I'm going to be on Dave Navarro's side while he meets the murderer of his mom.
I'm going to coach him through meeting this.
And that episode actually did really well, and Dave was very happy with it. It went well for him.
Good.
That's just a crazy story. You couldn't make that up. Also, Steve Harvey.
Cool.
Has been on Dr. Phil. Susan Sarandon was on Dr. Phil.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he's had quite a few very famous guests on his show.
Mm-hmm.
He has an episode that you and I watched together that I found very interesting, is the episode about the Todd Culhep. If you remember, he was the serial killer in South Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
He was in Spartanburg, South Carolina, for all you Carolina fans out there. Maybe that's how this ties in.
Maybe that's somehow what it is. South Carolina.
So he was a serial, he killed... First, he did a murder of a bunch of people at a motorcycle store.
It's a motorcycle store, and I think the reason that he killed them was because they laughed at him
or something? Yeah, they laughed at him, and he...
But just to clarify, Dr. Phil did not have this guy on his show.
No, they didn't. I got to tell the story, though, because you got to see how we got there.
Okay.
So this man, Culhep, he murdered, I think, 6 people in a motorcycle store. Because they laughed at him. He sprayed him with bullets and killed him. But he got away with it. And they never caught him.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, he had taken some people and held them hostage in his weird house in Spartanburg. And one of the people got away. They caught him while she was chained up in a storage container beside his house.
On his property.
And had been chained up there for like 2 months.
It was in the middle of nowhere.
In Spartanburg.
Rural. Mm-hmm. Like outside of the town.
Yeah. And so the guest that Dr. Phil had on was Kayla Brown, the girl who they found tied up.
That had been chained up, and he had told her that first of all, he murdered her boyfriend.
Right.
In front of her.
Right in front of her, shot him in the head.
They had gone to his property, I think, to do some work for him or something, and he lured them in, killed the boyfriend right in front of her, and then chained her up inside of a storage building.
Yes.
For how long? Like weeks?
Yeah, I think by the time they got there, it had been weeks. I can't remember exactly.
Yeah, and it's pretty gruesome.
It was bad.
Really bad.
And this was the thing. This episode with Kayla was not that long after she got freed. It was like a year.
I know. I was shocked when I found
I know.
I remember I was at the gym after work. And watching Dr. Phil as I worked out, and they were advertising, like, next week we're going to have this girl from the serial killer in South Carolina. And it was literally like a month or two after it had happened. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, she spoke out quick. It was weird.
Yeah, so I knew. I was like, I have to see this.
She held herself together, I thought.
She did. I was stunned when she was on the show, just how composed and...
I don't know if it hit her yet or she's just one of those people.
Yeah, I don't know. Like she for what she had been through as a victim, she was very put together. And
yeah, she was.
Yeah, so I was really impressed with her strength.
And that's why Dr. Phil had to press her very hard.
He did.
He said, I'll never forget the moment because I was watching with you.
So he's sitting in his chair. This was not in front of an audience.
He chose
to just interview her privately. So they're sitting in chairs face to face.
Face to face. And she is sort of holding it together really well. And so he pulls out a photograph. And who's this a picture of?
No, he reaches underneath his chair.
Yeah, he had it like under his chair.
He had
like
stashed an 8 by 8.5 by 11
framed photo of her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And he holds it up to her. Now, who is this?
He goes, who is this? Who is this guy?
And she's like, She's starting to tear up.
Yeah, and she completely...
Tell me who it is. And she breaks down and cries.
She completely broke down.
And she and it was so bad because...
It was so obvious what he was doing. At that moment, I was like, Dr. Phil, man, really?
Those are the reasons why I hate Dr. Phil when he does things like that.
Dude, that's dirty.
It is.
Manipulation.
I know. And, like, this just happened. Like, you don't have to shove a photo of him in her face. Yeah, like,
that was dirty.
It was dirty. But that is what he did, and she cried, and so he got his money. I think he gets paid per tear, personally.
I do, too.
They collect the celebrity tears in a
jar.
By the way,
did you know that Dr. Phil's net worth is $280 million?
Yeah, I did. I did see that in my research.
Oh, did you? Yeah. By comparison, though, Oprah's net worth is $2.5
billion. Yeah, yeah. So he's got a piece of the pie.
So he gets, like, you know, $1,000 per tier. Oprah, on the other hand, gets like $10,000 per tier.
Well, another episode that I liked was they had the daughter of the BTK killer.
Yeah.
On a show.
Another
that one.
Serial
that was a
killer
one.
Person.
Right. That was February 6, 2019. Her name is Carrie Rawson. She wrote a book about it, and she was on the show, and I felt what she was saying. He really did a good job of letting her talk and letting her explain why she was even there.
Yeah, which was super interesting.
She wrote a book because she said her therapist and everything had told her that, you know, this was her life. She can't run away from it.
No.
She can't pretend that it's not real.
If your dad is BTK, you can't escape that.
No, and it's forever going to be a part of her life, and she could either bottle it all up and carry that all on herself, or she could talk about it.
Uh-huh.
And she decided to talk about it.
She
I feel
wrote
like
a book.
That was probably what was right for her, but she said, because of it, she said, people are contacting me and telling me they want to throw me in a wood chipper. My family and my kids, because of my dad.
Mm-hmm.
That's some heavy shit to have to carry around.
Yeah, but she was kind of between a rock and a hard place.
Right.
Because if she didn't talk about it, then she's doing a disservice to her own...
Mental health, yes.
...healing process.
Correct.
And then if she does talk about it, then people think, well, she's just out to make a buck.
Right.
And she,
that was
story.
The whole thing with her story, and that was what Dr. Phil was presenting, is you really aren't in a good position at all. There's no winning in this for you.
Yeah, yeah.
So you might as well say how you feel. I agree. Yeah. I agree. I'm for her speaking out about it because...
For sure. And I mean, just, it was super interesting.
Yeah, it was.
Because this man had a family.
I know. And they had no idea.
And
then that's another time Dr. Phil pulls out the frame photo. It's like, what is this a photo of?
Yeah.
And it's her and her dad fishing down at the pond.
He started showing family photos from like Christmases together.
Yeah, it was
with
pretty
her
rough.
And her
trying to get her to tear up, but
dad.
She was also pretty strong.
She was super strong.
Like, I like
he
that.
Didn't really get to her with all of that. Like,
yeah.
She, I think, had been through enough therapy at that point to kind of handle it.
I thought it was, yes, I thought she was great. And I think that was what I liked about that episode was that she didn't fall to his like skeevy ways. She just,
I know.
She was like, no, I'm...
Yeah, she held her own.
I can't imagine being in that situation for her. I mean, that's got to be the hardest thing ever.
Right, but that's what makes an interesting show. That's why we tuned in to watch it.
Yeah, I mean,
that's why we tuned in to watch most of the shows is because we're just fascinated by the people.
Another episode that I was critical of is the one where he had this lady. Her name is Rochelle Herman Walrond, which is a hard name to say, but it doesn't matter. She was the lady who got Jared Fogle, Jared from Subway.
The Subway sandwich
arrested
guy.
For his child porn and whatnot.
Diddler.
Yeah, his
stuff.
bad kitty stuff.
She was a reporter or something, right?
Uh-huh.
And
I've got the story. She was, she met him in 2006, and at the time she was hosting a local radio program devoted to health issues. And so he was a well-known Subway ambassador. And health.
Right, weight loss, eating sub sandwiches.
She's doing her thing as a reporter and health issues. And so they met on the set of her show, and he hit it off. She kind of liked him. And,
yeah, because they were sort of almost dating at first.
Well, yeah, they were flirting. And then she picked up on his weird child obsession right away. And she went straight to her journalistic and she knew right away that she needed to get this story.
Yeah.
So she recorded herself having conversations with him for a long time.
But didn't she was working there for like the feds?
Yeah, or? She went to the FBI mm-hmm. and told them after she had some recordings.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, I guess normally we wouldn't do this, but since you're an investigative journalist, we want you.
And he trusts you.
Uh-huh.
You know, he trusted her.
We want you to string him along.
Mm-hmm.
And what's crazy is he was part of a bigger scandal
mm-hmm.
involving many, many more people who were, you know, manufacturing bad material on the internet.
Child pornography.
Right.
Yeah.
And because of that, they didn't want to catch him right away because then it would spook the other people in the net.
They wanted to net everybody
so
that was involved.
She had to string him along for 3 years.
3 years of conversations about what he liked about children.
And even getting into her children,
including
everything.
Including her own children.
Right.
And so all this was recorded.
And she held up through the whole thing. This is another, there's a theme with the episodes that I like because it's strong women.
Strong women.
Standing up to Dr. Phil or trying to, and him trying to squeeze out of it.
Right,
but
because
not.
When she was on the show, he played some of the recordings
of Fogel
talking about her children and then asked her, how did that make you feel?
Yeah, and she's managed to play along, but then she's having to listen to this, and it's horrible. You could see it on her face that
she did not like it.
Was very and he was like ramping it up the whole time. I'm like, how does it make you feel to hear about this? And she's like, it makes me feel terrible, but I know I did the right thing because we got him arrested. And
yeah, and that's what she kept saying. She, you know, she was just like, I knew the whole time that the reason why I was doing this was to put him away for a very long time.
I guess I'm noticing a pattern. I like strong women. That's a thing.
You do like strong women.
Nice. Awesome. Well, you know, those are some of the episodes that I know that we particularly liked and found interesting.
Mm-hmm. The other ones we like, but a lot of times that's just because we like to sit and compare and go, wow, we're not as messed up as these people.
And I like to see the old ladies who are getting Nigerian scammed. There's a bunch of those.
The catfisher ones. Also, yeah. I personally really like the ones where Dr. Phil gives parents grief for being terrible, especially when they roll up in there with a teenager who's mm-hmm. acting out of control.
Uh-huh. And then he always goes, well, where do you think they got this from?
He's like, they didn't just become bad kids out of nowhere.
Kids don't grow up in a vacuum.
What did you do to them?
I will say this. He's always right.
He's
always
when it
right
comes
about
to
that.
Especially the parenting stuff.
He's not always right about other things. No. But when it comes to how bad you are at parenting, he's always right.
Yeah. I wonder if that's because those are the episodes where he consults with Dr. Lawless.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Well, it seems to me like his strength, he has a very big strength in child psychology and parenting and, uh-huh. and parental roles and how that's supposed to work. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's famously saying things like, you shouldn't put adult problems onto children, which I completely agree with.
Yep.
It's always going to mess a child up when you put adult problems.
And he's not afraid
them.
To call them out because the parents go to the show thinking that they're going to get that he's going to straighten out their kid.
Yeah, like send them to boot camp or something.
But what happens is he ends up straightening out them.
Well, yeah, he dropped a great logic bomb on one of them when he said to the lady, you know, your kid is defiant and everything, and it's probably from the way that you've raised him. And she was like, it's not because of that, it's because of this. And she tried to blame everything else. And
uh-huh.
then he immediately goes, well, where do you think he got the idea of blaming everyone else and
not
accepting
really good.
His responsibility?
And I also have to give him and his show credit. They do their homework.
Yes, they do.
Really well when it comes to their guests.
Yeah.
It's not like they just invite any old rando on.
Yeah.
And you learn that if you watch the show enough, which we do.
Uh-huh.
He and his producers do a ton of back, you know, behind the scenes work.
Oh yeah, he wants to make a show.
Every single guest that comes on, he talks to their friends, their family, uh-huh. their neighbors, their employers.
Yeah.
He requests medical records with permission to find if they have any kind of medical issues or other mental health issues, and he has it all.
Yep.
And they put it all together.
And he knows all of it, too. Uh-huh. He has this folder. He has it like manila folders. It's like the most cliche thing ever. But he has like a big manila folder uh-huh. filled with shit about
it. And every time, you know, a guest will try to contradict or say, I never said that.
Yeah, he's
he
got
pulls
it.
That
he's
folder
like, yes,
out,
yes, you did.
And he flips to page 37 uh-huh. and he's like, it says right here that when you were talking to my producer, Bob, you said such and such, so and so.
Yeah. And he'll say things like, I don't ask myself why your kids are on drugs. I ask myself, why not?
Yeah, because if I was in your family, I'd be slamming heroin too, lady.
Right.
Which, and you're just like, oh, Dr. Phil.
It's kind of a Churchillian burn, that quote that's a tribute to him where Lady Astor says, sir, if you were my husband, I'd put poison in your drink. And he says, ma'am, if you were my wife, I'd drink it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was great.
It is great.
He does really good with like the burns and the putting people in their place. And I kind of like it.
It is pretty great. Well, another thing that happened with him was Dr. Phil was sued by a bunch of people. If you want to
think he's been sued pretty much. Yeah. Constantly.
If you want to just find a lot of search results, type Dr. Phil sued into Google and you will get like 84 billion results. Mm-hmm. But his son, Jordan, is somebody who he's like a rock star, I guess. He's a musician.
Right. So Jay is the one that's the television producer. Uh-huh. And Jordan is this like rock star.
Yeah. He's kind of a free spirit.
Tattooed up,
dude.
And he's like, yeah. No, Dad, I'm not going to be
I'm
going to
be a musician.
Yeah.
And he had a really awesome house that he put up for sale, and the internet went crazy when it happened.
Yeah, it was like, what, 6 or 7 months ago, maybe?
I think it was a little bit longer than that, but yeah.
Yeah, the internet lost its mind when
because
he put
his
this
house
up for sale.
Some people thought it was ugly. I thought it was badass.
It was this gigantic mansion.
It looked like Beetlejuice house.
And it was, yeah, it was interior decorated in the style of Tim Burton.
Yeah, it was like a Tim Burton wet dream. It looked awesome. I thought it looked awesome.
I could see how a lot of people would hate it.
It was a $5.75 million house.
Yes, yes. Oh, I know.
In Beverly Hills.
I looked at it. I looked through all the pictures
of
it.
Yeah, if you Google Jordan McGraw house, you'll see it's amazing.
Yeah.
He had like these crazy fake bone tusks that made his staircase.
And the colors were just unusual combinations.
He had like a velvet wall.
Yeah. Just like the Jeffrey.
Crazy stuff. Yeah. Like the Jeffrey.
The Jeffrey from Get Him to the Greek.
From Get Him to the Greek. Yeah. He had like a velvet plush wall.
I just remember one room in particular being mostly blue with a lot of gold in it.
Yeah. And that big pool table in the middle that had claws on the bottom of it. It's badass.
And wasn't the pool table blue too?
No, it was white. And it looked like it was spilling onto the floor with claws.
Yeah. Like that kind of Tim Burton.
Yeah. It looked awesome.
Nightmare Before Christmas.
I thought if I had that amount of money, that's what my house would look like too. So.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I have to say, Jordan McGraw has good taste, if anything.
I mean, we're the kind of people, though, that would leave Halloween decorations up year-round just because we like the way they look.
Yes, well, I do. I actually have Halloween decorations that I just leave in the basement. There's a little skeleton rat in a cage that just sort of dangles hanging in the basement.
Despite all my rage,
yeah,
I'm still just a rat in a cage.
Yes, it reminds me of Smashing Pumpkins, and it makes me feel good.
Billy
I like
Corgan.
Having it.
Yeah.
And I just like have, I like that type of thing.
I do.
So
we both have a very similar aesthetic. We like the look of that.
So I thought it's
awesome.
But
we also
awesome.
Acknowledge that a lot of people might find it tacky.
Yeah. Well, they did. The internet did.
But the internet just thought it was grotesque.
One of the things I like about the show is sitting there and judging the people that were on it because I know that I'm better than them.
Yeah,
and I think
we definitely do a lot of that.
And I think that's part of the appeal that the internet had to making fun of Jordan's house. It was the same thing.
Just judgment.
Yeah, just judging the hell out of somebody that you feel like you're better than.
None of the rest of us would ever even be able to afford that kind of
exactly. And I think
Tim
that's what
Burton
we're all doing.
Aesthetic
I think
house.
You and I have worked out a system where we try to keep it to we judge people a lot, but we try to keep it to on the couch. We have an area, like a designated judgment zone.
We do. We have a judgment zone.
I feel like other people should know about this because it might be helpful for them in their lives.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
And when we're on the couch that we call Judy, we are judgmental as hell about people and self-righteous and stand on our high horse. But then when you're not there, when you're in the world or you're interacting with other people, you try to not behave that way.
Right. You retain your judgment for Judy, the couch, and the judgment zone.
Right.
Or we call it the freely judgmental zone.
Yes. Where you can just judgmental the hell out of somebody.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have those thoughts and tendencies, but if you confine it to an area where you can let it out, then when you go into the world, you're not doing it to people. Because it's bad to judge people, generally.
It is. And I feel like maybe Dr. Phil's meeting that need in a way.
He is.
Where
exactly.
He taps into that part of you that likes to judge others.
That loves to just down.
And you
down
get a full hour of it. Mm-hmm. And you're not hurting anybody.
Exactly.
Because you're just, you're watching a show.
And that would be the message that I would want to leave people with in this episode.
Watch Dr. Phil.
And judge those people, but not the people around you.
Yeah.
Or if you're going to judge the people around you, do it in your house by yourself.
Sitting on your couch named Judy.
Mm-hmm. And don't be mean. that does it for this week's episode of the Carolina Snowflakes podcast. Mm-hmm. If you like what you heard, you can find us on our website at
carolinasnowflakes.com.
Also, we're on Facebook at
facebook.com/carolinasnowflakes.
And we'd love to hear from you if you want to shoot us an email at
carolinasnowflakes@gmail.com.
gmail.com.
Thanks for listening. Bye.